Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, is Anthony Herron.
And this is the Post Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Go ahead and smile through it all, Bears fans. Can you believe this is your life? Chicago Bears now at 6-3 on the season. They have won 6 out of their last 7 games. And when you look at the divisional standings, right now with the Packers at 5-2, Bears at 6-3. So, I mean, they've got a 1-game lead in the win column. Is that a thing? I feel like we only talk about the loss column for some reason. I mean, they all play the same amount of games. Whether you're talking football, basketball, baseball, but for some reason we kind of focus on the loss column. That's a very glasses half empty way of looking at it. Bears got a 1-game lead in the win column. Let's go. Chicago Bears at 6-3 on the season. Green Bay at 5-2. Detroit at 5-3. Minnesota Vikings at 4-5 now. Bears are right in the thick of the NFC North Division Championship hunt. 6 out of their last 7 games have come out with a win. Victorious today over the New York Giants at Soldier Field. I'm Anthony Herron. This is the Post Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Taking you up to Sunday Night Football coverage. Tonight, the Chargers host the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Coverage is coming up at 6:30 with kickoff at 7:20 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. You can also tune in all day tomorrow for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Gabe Ramirez will be live starting at midnight, followed by Mully and Haw at 5:30 right here on The Score. And I look forward to participating in Football Monday myself tomorrow on the midday show with Raheemi, Harris, and Grody. But for now, you got me solo, and I am with you. Another miraculous finish, another fantastic fourth quarter for Caleb Williams and the Bears. Overall, his numbers 20 out of 36, 220 yards, a touchdown pass. Another game with zero interceptions for the Bears quarterback. Also, no fumbles in the game for Caleb either, so he continues to protect the football at a really high level. A game that I went into this game against the Giants thinking that the Bears' approach, especially in chilly and blustery conditions at Soldier Field, I talked about it this morning on Bears Game Day Live and on Friday on Bears Blitz and during the week on The Score here. I thought there would be a rushing approach for the Bears. I felt like they'd try to lead with the ground attack. And overall, the run game was effective. DeAndre Swift, 13 carries, 80 yards. Kyle Manunga, 7 carries, 28 yards. But the Bears quarterback, Caleb Williams, was so impactful with his legs in this game. 8 carries, 63 big yards in the game. And of course, the most impactful, the most decisive yards were gained on that 29-yard touchdown run that he had that gave the Bears the lead late in the fourth quarter. And to see this team continue to do this, continue to sort of manufacture this magic that they have in the fourth quarters of these games. You do it once, then you say, all right, maybe this is luck. You do it a couple of times, and it's easy to write off, especially given the competition that they face. Now, there's only 32 teams in the National Football League. These are the best football players on planet Earth. But there's always a hierarchy with everything you do. There's going to be some teams who are the best teams in the league, and there's going to be some teams who are the worst teams in the league. The Giants are 2-8 for a reason. We'll be able to get into some of that throughout the post-post show tonight. But that being said, we told you how talented this defensive front was, and that showed up. There were some of the Bears' offensive linemen that were having a hard time with them. Theo Benedet, undrafted, second-year pro, you know, first year really playing, competing, starting in the NFL. He's a feisty guy, and he fights, but like a lot of offensive tackles, he did have trouble at times keeping up with Kayvon Thibodeau, and that was whether the run or pass. Brian Burns was really elusive as a run defender and pass rusher at times as well. And the battle I was telling you about, I tweeted it out before the game at Big Ant Heron, the matchup between Darnell Wright and Brian Burns, there was some fun stuff going on there, man, where Brian Burns was getting Darnell Wright on the run, getting him to chase him up the field a few times, had a couple of nice inside moves. But then there were also points, especially later in the game, where Darnell Wright got to the point where he was shutting down that inside move, and then Brian Burns just, he feels like he's got no other choice. And especially one of the things that ends up happening, I will describe to you a little bit later in the show, where there's a clip that's circulating on social media, and there's only a few times that I just kind of let out a yell during the game. I'm not a big verbal reaction guy while just watching football, but when you get into the fourth quarter, when the game is getting into crunch time, and then like many other folks who are passionate about this game, yeah, my passions about what we're watching end up upticking when you get to the fourth quarter of this thing. Some exciting moments. One of them was the Caleb touchdown run, but there was another moment between Darnell Wright and Brian Burns that really stood out to me as well. Now, I'll describe what Darnell Wright did and why he was able to do it. I'm going to come back around to that a bit later in the show. But to Caleb Williams, to the Bears quarterback, one of the things I referenced last week during the post-post show was Caleb putting me in the mind of things that I felt, things that I experienced during my playing career. I was in the NFL from 2001 to 2005, and I was remembering what it was like sitting in meeting rooms evaluating early Donovan McNabb, early Steve McNair, some of these guys who had a playmaking ability about the way they played the game, had a command of the moment, and you could tell that it wasn't always as the play was designed, but they were finding ways to lead their team to wins as young quarterbacks before they had really gotten the precision, and especially the consistency of precision at their position down. And if you want to go to, you know, more recent or younger contemporaries, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, now retired, still an older guy. Ben's a little younger than me. But the most modern comp that people make for that is Josh Allen. But, you know, I wanted to take it back a little bit further than Josh Allen. If you want to go way back, you can even talk Steve Young and how he was operating early in his career. The difference with Steve Young is that they ran him out of Tampa because he wasn't finding ways to lead his teams to wins. He had to sort of figure the position out and get in the Bill Walsh 49er system. But right now, Bears didn't need to move on from Caleb last year. They moved on from the head coach, brought in Ben Johnson. And this combination of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams is going to continue to be nightmare fuel for all the different defenses that the Bears face, because you've got a very creative play caller in Ben Johnson who really seems to have a keen sense for moments in the game and for how he can put his playmakers in position to get in the open field, to have opportunities at touchdowns. But then it's also combined with him being comforted by having a quarterback like Caleb Williams, because one of the issues I've had with play callers of years past here with the Bears is that they constantly are focused on how they outsmart the opponent from inside the pocket, as opposed to giving a playmaking quarterback, giving a multidimensional talent from behind center the opportunity to just make some plays. And frankly, the trust that it takes to do that. And that's one of the more impressive things to me here early, and we're just over the halfway point of the first season with Ben Johnson as Bears head coach slash play caller. But there's a trust that is very obviously developing and has already very obviously developed between Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, because now they've been through 9 games together. They have been through critical moments together, and he is now trusting Caleb to be a playmaker, to color outside the lines. And it's a very different experience than Ben Johnson had in a couple of different ways, because when he was calling plays for the Detroit Lions, he had a veteran quarterback who, frankly, been a much more successful NFL figure than Ben Johnson up to that point in Jared Goff. Jared Goff had already led a team to the Super Bowl when he and Ben Johnson were working together with the Lions. So you have that, but then also the physical attributes that Jared Goff brought to the table. He was a guy who had experienced a lot in the NFL, seen every defense imaginable. And so as Ben Johnson would draw things up, it took a little while, certainly. They weren't hitting their stride right away in Detroit, but he had a veteran presence and a veteran brain to work with as he developed his offense in Detroit. Now with Caleb, he's got a young quarterback, a guy who's barely played at this level, but then also a completely different style of athlete at quarterback. And for my football eyes, it's really fun just watching the combination of the two of them trying to figure this thing out, because it's still very clunky at times. But the fact that the Bears are winning enhances how hopeful I am for what this combination of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams can become, especially because there's a lot of youth already on this Bears offense that they're having to lean into to help lead them to big moments, to help find ways to make key plays in critical moments in games. It's a pretty cool thing, man. And I'm glad that it does seem, especially having a game at Soldier Field where it feels like the Bears haven't had a lot of home games this season. They're now 3-1 at home this year. But it's been a minute since the Bears have been at home very much, and I'm glad that the Soldier Field fans got to get a little bit of that in person and watching the Bears pull off a little bit of magic in the fourth quarter and seeing that and the way the crowd was responding to it. I know a lot of you are out there. Going to get some of you involved in the conversation here at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767, with the Bears being now at 6-3 on the season and right there in the thick of the chase for the NFC North Division. Schedule is only going to get tougher from here because they're 0-2 in the division, and there's a whole lot of divisional foes on the way, but they've taken down the Giants and the Bears are sitting pretty. Let's get the phone lines rolling here. I see Dan is out in Colorado. Wants to talk about what's happening with these Bears. What's up, Dan? You're on the Post Show.
Hey, Big Ann. It's a pleasure to talk to you. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man.
All right. I got to talk to you about a couple of things. You know, Big Cat was talking about the drops around the quarterback, and I disagree with that 100%. You know, we're talking about DJ Moore, Olamide Zaccheaus, Roma Dunze, DeAndre Swift. Listen, these dudes need to catch the ball. You know, plain and simple. They got to catch the ball. You know, that cost Caleb at least 2 touchdown passes, you know, with them dropping the ball. You know, these guys are paid to catch the ball. They need to drop it. Listen, Olamide Zaccheaus, I need to see Luther Burden the third. You know, I need to see Luther Burden catching these balls. You know, that's one thing I need to see. I don't understand why Zaccheaus is taking snaps from Luther. You know, the routes that Luther is running, the hands that he displays, it's just unbelievable. You know when you're looking at these passes, I don't understand why Luther's not catching that ball. You know, you got Darius Slayton with that one-handed catch. I mean, that's unbelievable. It's one of the best catches I've ever seen. You know, and these guys are dropping these balls that are hitting them right in their hands. You know, and we're talking about trust. You know, I don't trust these guys catching the ball. You know, we got Zaccheaus, we got Swift, we got DJ. I know he was hurt today. Rome's been dropping balls left. I mean, there's at least two or three balls that Rome's been dropped the last four or five games. You know, I don't understand, you know, why we're not catching these balls. You're the number one receiver. You're the ninth pick in the draft. You know, here's the thing. You got to catch these balls, contested, not contested. I know that the stats are saying that he's only dropped three passes throughout the season. I disagree with that. You know, your eye test is looking at this. You know, you got to catch these balls. You know,
I hear you, Dan. I do. And I agree because I agree to a certain extent. Now, not every drop is created equally. Not every time the ball hits the receiver's hands is it going to be judged as a drop by the statisticians. It's a little bit of a gray area, just like whether or not, you know, when you see stats on how many pressures does a guy have on the quarterback. Pressures are a little bit subjective. Did they win against the blocker? Did they beat the guy clean? Are they knocking the quarterback off their spot? Are they actually getting a hit on the QB? So things like QB pressures, it's kind of subjective depending on the statistician. And drops can be a little bit subjective as well. I've been a guy who here on this station pretty frequently has said, because of the talents of Rome Odunze, and by comparison, I know a lot of Bears fans remember Kevin White from many moons ago. I think he was the very first round pick of the Ryan Pace era, top 10 pick. Kevin White, who was hurt a lot early in his career, but overall, while he was a physical dynamo, but as far as the overall skill set, the full attributes as a wide receiver that Kevin White brought to the table, he wasn't as complete of a prospect as Rome Odunze. So for me, just in evaluating Rome Odunze, I have had in just over a season and a half here, I've had some disappointments about the way Rome Odunze has operated. I think he's been certainly has now turned into a quality wide receiver in the NFL. My hope is we see a version of Rome Odunze that turns into a truly elite playmaker at the position, and I don't think he's there yet. Just like Bears quarterback Caleb Williams, I'm hoping he turns into a truly elite quarterback, a truly elite game, you know, like game field general at the position, but he's not there yet. Still very young, though. Now, the development arc for a quarterback is different and judged differently than the development arc of a receiver because of everything that's on the plate of a QB. But for Rome, nice game for him overall today. Six grabs, 86 yards, and a touchdown for his size. Really smooth route runner. But yeah, there's a frequency to the ball hitting the hands of Rome Odunze. And I would just love for him to make more of those wow grabs because there are times where the very best receivers in the sport just kind of bail their quarterback out, where you just see a highlight reel type of grab that's there. I'd like to see more of that from Rome Odunze. So I agree with the caller, Dan, along those lines. Overall, yeah, there were a number of drops in the game today. Honestly, I was surprised with the volume of pass plays that were called by Ben Johnson because I expected Soldier Field to be difficult conditions to throw the football with volume to come out of that game and say, well, Bears operated with some volume to the passing attack. Caleb was 20 out of 36 in the game, so 36 pass attempts, 28 rushing attempts, and a variety of those were called pass plays that Caleb ended up taking off and scrambling on. So I'll be curious to hear from Ben Johnson. I'm sure he'll have more on that tomorrow when he gets a chance to address the media, just in that distribution pass play versus run play, because the Bears did have some success on the ground. But overall, the drops, yeah, I hear you on that. Those can be frustrating. It hasn't been a consistent issue, I would say, throughout the season when you look at the Bears receivers as a whole. But today it definitely did show up with some frequency. 312-644-6767. Let's sneak another call or two in here before I go to my first timeout. I see Mike is in Iowa. Want to talk about what's happening with the Bears. Mike, you're on the Post Post Show. What's up?
Anthony Heron, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, man.
I have to tell you, Gary Dolphin says hello.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I love Dolph. That's my guy.
I work out at a fitness place here. Gary lives outside of Dubuque, and he's a big Hawkeye announcer there. He's been there for years, and I know you play for the Hawkeyes, so I'm sure you know him quite well.
Yes, sir.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. Disappointing loss for the Hawkeyes yesterday, by the way. That was terrible.
Yeah, agreed, man. They had it. They were right there.
But they're in those games, man. They almost beat Indiana, so they're better. I'm originally from Chicago, though, but I live out here now. But I got a question for you. So we're talking about receivers not catching the ball, this and that. I know the caller before you was saying, oh, those guys got to catch the ball. But Caleb Williams, he's just – it's like if you could perfectly put it in the outstretched hands and it's just about 2 or 3 inches, just too out of the stretch. Mm. He's not – the balls are going wide or he's throwing behind the receiver. It's like it's not – it's not right there. You know what I'm saying? It's yes, those are some catches they could make. Like the one throw he threw to Colston Loveland, that was Colston Loveland. That wasn't Caleb Williams. No, most of the receivers would not have caught right. that ball. And he's throwing it in double, triple coverage where the guy's going to get killed out there stretching his body out like that. I mean, Caleb's got to put the ball in a better position. He's either behind or he's ahead of their throw. I'm not saying anything. Caleb's improving. Mm-hmm. But like you said, you got to see him be the elite quarterback he was paid to be and drafted to be. He's definitely not even there yet. He's like a rookie now. He's been ruined. He's been ruined in his first year. And I think you'll agree with this. It's detrimental to a quarterback when you come in a system and he already has had multiple coordinators. And I mean, you got to keep learning. I was in the Air Force, man. And it's like, okay, you finish basic training, then you go to tech school. You got to keep learning everything all over again. Then you go to your on-the-job training, then you go to your first base, then you go to the next base. It's a constant, but they're messing with his head. He's got it. This Ben Johnson's going to get him. I know he's going to get him where he's got to be, and I just want your opinion on it. If you think it is Caleb's throws or just a little bit errant, what do you think?
Yeah, I appreciate you calling, Mike, and go Hawks. No doubt about that. Yeah, love Dolph, no doubt. And I think – It's a good juxtaposition we have between the first two callers because the drops were definitely there today, but there were also still some of those errant passes from Caleb as well. One thing I was curious about, and I meant to try and get to this in Bears Game Day Live this morning. You know, we do a 90-minute show every Sunday morning on Fox 32. I'm there with Luke Kanellis and Cassie Carlson, Tina Wynn, then Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer come in for the final half hour of the show as well. The weather conditions, and I wasn't sure how much precipitation we would end up getting because a lot of the conversation has been about Caleb throwing runner's balls and making sure that the passes are more catchable as he improves here. And my curiosity about the weather conditions today at Soldier Field was whether or not, especially if we ended up getting like rain and snow, would the coaching points for Caleb be just to make sure it's catchable as opposed to throwing balls where you may see the pass catchers have to extend away from their frame to reach out and grab it with their hands because there are certain weather conditions and just certain proximity to defenders where you do want body catching because it can just be really difficult and perhaps lead to tips and overthrows if you're putting your pass catcher in a position where they have to extend their hands away from their body if you do have defenders around or if you have slick footballs or blustery conditions. The conditions at Soldier Field, it didn't end up being rainy. There was snow flurries. The winds did seem to be gusty, but Ben Johnson and apparently Caleb Williams felt comfortable dropping back passing the football pretty consistently there. But there were a number of drops. But it was, I think, the fact that the first two callers we've taken, you feel each end of that spectrum, I think it's fitting because there were some definite drops, like Alameda Zacchaeus. Yeah, those were no doubt drops. Now, the first one in the corner of the end zone to DJ Moore, I don't think that ball was going to have DJ Moore landing in the end zone, even if he came up with it. And then even the actual initial drop on what was basically a swing route, swing pass to DJ Moore after he came in motion, that was a really hot shot. And one of the issues DJ Moore had with it, one, Caleb threw it really hard from not that far away, catchable, but then also one of the things we've begun to see with some of the more athletic edge rushers, Chase Young did it several times when the Bears played the Saints. And Brian Burns did it multiple times in the game today also, where when you're a guy who's accustomed to playing in space anyway, we've seen some of the more athletic edge rushers kind of get a bead on these passes that end up being either swing passes or bubble screens where Caleb, he doesn't even have the laces sometimes where he takes the snap from center and he's trying to quickly flip the ball laterally outside the numbers. And it's basically an extension of the run game. And there's been some times here against a couple of these opponents where, as opposed to rushing the quarterback, you see some of these edge defenders who do, in some of these situations, seem to have a feel for when Ben Johnson is just going to have Caleb throw the ball laterally. And it hasn't turned into an interception yet, but there were a couple of near misses for the Giants defense, and specifically Brian Burns kind of having a bead on that in the game today. And a similar example that we saw Chase Young operating in a few weeks back with that Saints defense. But I think the first two callers, frankly, I can really agree with both of you, but it's not a one-size-fits-all thing. There were some balls that Caleb took some of the RPMs off of it, and whether it was DeAndre Swift or Olamide Zaccheaus, who just flat-out dropped it, or Roma Dunze, you know, some near misses there. DJ Moore, I think a lot of these you could look at and say catchable, but more difficult than you would like in some of these scenarios. But it was a game that the drops were more of an issue in today's game than we've seen throughout the season. So I think both callers are kind of right to some extent, because some were on Caleb, some were on the pass catchers, as I saw it. It was hard to come away and just say that this wasn't a game where the Bears had drops. They certainly did. Hasn't been a consistent issue as a full receiver core. So one player, and we'll get to in just a bit here, I ain't seen him drop nothing all year. And I do hope we start to see more of an emergence for one of these Bears pass catches that I will come back around to. But let me take my first time out. We'll get more of your calls in here at 312-644-6767. With the Bears moving to 3-1 at home on the season, defending Soldier Field yet again in another fantastic finish for Caleb Williams, leading the Bears back from behind again. 24-20 was the final score as they took down the New York Giants. More of your calls on the way. I'm Anthony Heron. This is the Post Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
at Lowe's. This Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Williams, a deep drop, lets it rip. He's got Burden. Luther Burden inside the 25 and still going to the 19. 26 yards for the rookie. To the two-minute warning. The Bears, what feels like just a moment ago, looked down and out and finished. They have come to life. Are they ready to do it again?
That's how it sounded on Fox Sports. I thanks to them for that audio. Greg Olson and Joe Davis on the call, and Pam Oliver on the sideline. And that was a moment just outside of the two-minute warning when, you know, Greg Olson's obviously been through a whole bunch of stuff. He's been on teams here in Chicago that made the playoffs, been on a team in Carolina that went to the Super Bowl, made a bunch of plays, won a bunch of games, and he's turned into a sensational game analyst as well with the way he can break things down to describe it. One of the things that Greg was talking about just before that moment, it was a second and three with over 2 minutes to go in the fourth, Bears down by three at that moment. But he was describing the calculus that's involved in that time management for Ben Johnson and the Bears, because you're still trailing. And the metrics, the math majors out there, there's a lot of additional analysis that goes into the game planning and the strategy throughout a football game now, more than ever before. You're talking about the enhanced fourth downs, the two-point conversions, and the clock management as you get into the latter stages of each half, especially towards the end of the game. What I do think has gone too far to a large extent is the idea that you should like go out of your way to not score until there's a zero on the clock at the end. That's just asking too much, because you don't have a guarantee of getting into the end zone in these situations. And that ball that Caleb Williams threw to Luther Burden just before that, if I'm remembering the situation correctly, just before that, Greg Olson was describing the clock management and the things that Ben Johnson and the Bears are trying to calculate. And to be able to get a fresh set of downs at the two-minute warning is precisely how you're hoping that's going to work out. Because on that second down completion to Burden, if for some reason that's a drop, or if for some reason they don't end up moving the chains, now you're going to be beyond the two-minute warning and you're going to have a third down coming up. You're going to have what might be the penultimate play of the game, the decisive moment in the game, with just that last moment to go and only a timeout remaining, or for some reason you feel like you wouldn't need to use your last timeout if you're still outside of the two-minute warning. But the preferable scenario is to pick up a first down. So the fact that the Bears had a 7-yard gain on first down, they dropped back for a play-action pass. And to me, where Luther Burden misses last week's game with a concussion, but in a similar fashion to what we saw from the sort of methodical emergence of Colston Loveland being infused more and more into the offense, where for the first month of the season, it was very obvious that Cole Kmet, for understandable reasons, he's whatever, a fifth or sixth year pro who's played a lot of good football with the Bears. So it shouldn't be a shocking statement. But I'm sure a lot of you would be surprised to hear that Cole Kmet was very obviously a much better football player than Colston Loveland through the first month of the season. And in a lot of ways, he still is. But we did see week by week, Colston Loveland, within the role that he's been able to start carving out in this Bears offense, emerging as more of a weapon and more dependable in his run blocking. So the pass game as a receiver and the run game as a run blocker, we've seen continued growth throughout the year. And so in critical moments, that trust is developed and it was beginning to get rewarded. And it's a part of why in that matchup with the Bengals last week, I told you guys on this station, and I said it on Fox 32, the Bears tight end position, and specifically Colston Loveland, was set for a big game, perhaps even a quote-unquote breakout game, depending on how you view the, you know, that type of terminology, against the Bengals, and that ended up being the case. Luther Burden, I'm seeing him on a similar trajectory with what he's beginning to show as a wide receiver, and is a fairly, you know, fairly obvious juxtaposition as well in a game like the one today, just like the first couple of calls we had here on the post-post show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, where there are a number of balls that have hit the hands of Bears pass catchers. Again, I kind of went through the litany of comparing and contrasting because not every incompletion that hits the hands of a receiver am I willing to grade as a true drop, but some of them are. And certainly a number of them were in today's game. Some of them were just Caleb not putting the ball in a really catchable place, or Caleb having a narrow miss, or a ball that is trailing out of bounds, the receiver's trying to get it. Or you also have moments like DeAndre Swift or Olamide Zaccheaus where it's right there and it's very catchable and ball just goes through their hands for whatever reason. Haven't been seeing that with Luther Burden. And the targets are still fairly limited right now, but that's explainable because of the precision that we've talked about a lot within Ben Johnson's offense and what's necessary there. But one of the previous callers did reference, if you're in a position like Olamide Zaccheaus is in and you're seeing him as a playmaker having drops, not having that frequent targets, and when they're there, you know, how much are they going for? You know, he's different stylistically than a number of the other Bears receivers. So there's a role for Olamide Zaccheaus in this offense. But when you're dialing up plays, we're starting to see Luther Burden emerge here. And that trust, like on that play, just outside the two-minute warning, we're on a second down. It's not going to be the last play of the game, but it is a critical moment. There's gravity to that second down completion that turns into a first down, and then the game hits the two-minute warning. That matters a lot. Caleb read the coverage, and he trusted Luther Burden to run the route, to get open. He caught it cleanly, and he, as a pass catcher, one of the things I love about Luther Burden is that he runs routes bigger than his frame, and he catches the ball bigger than his frame as well, because he's consistently a guy who's able to extend his hands away from his body and just snatch the football with confident, quiet hands. And there's such confidence to the overall way that he carries himself as a playmaker on the field. So if he's to the point now where Ben Johnson can truly trust and Caleb Williams can truly trust that he's going to be where he's expected to be, he's a guy who I definitely expect here in the second half of the season to carve out a bigger and bigger role in this offense, because I think the sky is the limit for Luther Burden once he truly gets this thing figured out and once the Bears get to the point where that passing attack continues to show growth. It's been fun to watch him emerge, and just like a few weeks ago I started to tell you, Colston Loveland's starting to do some stuff. Just look out for him. And then last week, say, yeah, this is his game. Luther Burden starting to show more and more, and the Bears starting to show more and more trust in him. Let me sneak one caller in before another timeout here, 312-644-6767. Mark is down in Champaign, who's been on hold for a little bit here. It's the post-post show. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Al, first and foremost, thanks for having me. I want to give a shout-out to my wife for keeping the kids while I went to the game. But
oh, let's go.
Today's game, hats off to Caleb Williams for sure. The last couple of weeks in the fourth quarter, down late, and it's coming down to him. And he's just had absolute ice in his veins to win these games. But also to Ben Johnson, because last year, the last few years, these games are the kind of games that the Bears lose the last few years. And Ben Johnson just completely flipping the culture around and turning this team into a winner and showing them how to win games instead of having them lose games in those late deciding moments has really been a thing to watch. And being one of those fans that was in the stadium, you were talking about the energy, and there is hope in Chicago right now. And I'm hoping to ride this train as long as we can. And I just want to hear your thoughts about how the culture has changed in the locker room here in Chicago.
Mark, it's a special thing, and I really appreciate the call, man, because for me, as a guy who, unfortunately, I never got to play for the Bears, that's some folks end up confusing that because I've covered the Bears so much in this city. Actually, I played in Detroit, played for the Green Bay Packers, played for the Atlanta Falcons, but grew up a huge Bears fan right here in Chicago, and I know what Bears fandom is because I lived it so much throughout my childhood, and there's not a team in this city that moves the mass of Chicago sports fandom in the same way that the Bears do. And with that in mind, there's been so much Bears frustration over the years here to see these moments. It's why I try to remind people to soak them in. Yes, to evaluate them and to have the same critiques that are worthy of imperfect teams and imperfect play and imperfect decisions from coaching staffs. But because we've been burned so often from disappointment, sometimes it's very automatic to just revert to the negative, to just revert to woe is us, to revert to everything that they're doing wrong. But right now, winning 6 of their first 9 games, 6 out of their last 7 games, there's a lot that's going right as well. And what's encouraging about it is that it's very obviously in its infancy. And to see that, to feel that at Soldier Field today, I'm happy for Bears fans. And I'm glad that it does seem like now that wins are mounting, where there's more and more optimism snowballing, more and more hope snowballing. It doesn't mean that there's nothing to critique, nothing to be negative about, because that's there. There are holes to shoot in this thing from a variety of different directions, but also there's joy to be taken in it. There's very deep areas of improvement that the Bears are going to have to make that we will continue to break down on this station. But as we do that, I urge all of you to go ahead and soak this up, take this in, man, because to see that, let's go Bears, breaking out in Soldier Field. I mean, one of the last real en masse chants I can recall at Soldier Field was a couple of seasons ago as the regular season was closing out and folks were trying to convince the Bears to keep Justin Fields because they didn't want to move on at quarterback and thought the franchise was going to make a big mistake. So that, you know, that chant on that day against the Falcons closing out the season at Soldier Field, that was almost more of an anti-Bears chant. So think about George McCaskey pumping his fist, running off the field, screaming from the last game. And now what we saw today with the Bears being back at home, it may not last because they play in the best division in the sport and there's a whole lot of divisional games coming up. But 6-3 is a fun place to be. 312-644-6767. I see Ryan out there in Indy. I see Ty in Colorado. I see Chris, Johnny, Vince, a lot of other callers on the line. Let me take a time out. Come back to these phone lines in just one moment. This is the Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I was talking to you about some of the fair critiques that are there for this team at 6-3. Having won six out of their last seven games, we've referenced the inaccuracies at times of Caleb, the drops that we saw show up today with the pass catchers. Defensively, some things worthy of concern there as well. Now, defensively, some things that are apparent are T.J. Edwards not in the lineup as a linebacker. Noah Sewell has played well, though. I mean, Noah Sewell's having the best season of his young career so far, whether that's been as a starting linebacker, at times special teams contributor. But Noah Sewell ain't T.J. Edwards. At least he hasn't shown himself to be that yet. But him being at the mic and Tremaine Edmonds moving to the will, or when T.J. Edwards is in there, Edwards being at the mic, Edmonds moving to the will, that allows Tremaine Edmonds to be more of the space backer at times, utilize his length and athleticism in a really advantageous way, while also we're seeing a version of Tremaine Edmonds that's playing more decisive football as an off-ball linebacker. It's a Giants offense where the QB run game was a huge problem for the Bears, and that Giants offense threw some things at the Bears from an under-center perspective that I would imagine the Bears hadn't game planned for, because I didn't see that as much in the Giants offense in preparing for what we'd see in the game today. Also, zone concepts that were there for the Giants defensively showed up a lot. But I was impressed with Jackson Dart. I'll certainly say that. He's an impressive young quarterback, and if he wouldn't have gotten banged up, then Bears are going to have their hands full in trying to finish that game out. And perhaps Brian Daboll makes a different decision on one of those moments that came up in the game today where he kicks a field goal to go up 10 as opposed to going for a fourth and goal from the one. Even the Bears picked up a penalty in that scenario on the field goal where you could have said, all right, as opposed to fourth and a long one after the Russell Wilson carry, maybe it's a fourth and inches, fourth and goal from the multiple inch line. Brian Daboll decides to kick the field goal, or take the field goal anyway. And that's one of those moments. And I thought that Greg Olsen did a nice job of pointing out that this is the type of decision that could potentially come back to bite the Giants. And it certainly did. Because even if they don't convert there, the Bears are 99 yards away from a touchdown, dozens and dozens of yards away from a reasonable field goal attempt with the weather conditions in that game. So with that New York media, just like our Chicago media, I'm sure there's a lot of tough questions being asked of their head football coach with some of the decision-making there as of late. And with the way things played out in the game, we're now in a pattern where it feels like a lot of these events that occur in the fourth quarter. And I think back to that opening game against the Minnesota Vikings where it felt like kind of the same type of fourth quarter we saw a bunch last season where things just don't go the Bears' way. They've locked down J.J. McCarthy and pick-sixing them all and sacking them all over the place, and then somehow things just fall apart on both sides of the ball in the fourth quarter. We've seen a different version of the Bears since then, and it's a fun place to be to now have that confidence and have it be rewarded over and over again by Caleb Williams and a number of these Bears playmakers on both sides of the ball. Bears defenders stepping up, getting the key stop that they needed late as well. We'll get to the top of the hour here, and I'm going to take you up to Sunday Night Football coverage on The Score tonight. The Chargers host the Steelers on Sunday Night Football coverage. It's coming up at 6:30 with kickoff at 7:20 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. Tune in all day tomorrow for Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Gabe Ramirez will be live starting at midnight, followed by Mully and Haw at 5:30 right here on The Score. All those callers on the line, we're going to get to you at the top of the following hour, 312-644-6767. Bears win yet another game, now moving to 3-1 at Soldier Field on the season, 6-3 overall. Second place statistically in the division, but number one in the win column. More wins than any other squad in the NFC North. That's your life, Bears fans. Soak it up on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I can feel my body just kind of settle down, and I think that's important for me when I'm out there in those moments, but also the calmness, demeanor of when I'm in the huddle, looking at those guys in the eyes, and you know the belief, the faith. Like I say, living in the known in those moments, it provides a certain level of confidence for us to be able to go out there and deliver.
This is the Post Poster on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Anthony Herron taking you to Sunday Night Football coverage here. Tonight, the Chargers host the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Coverage is coming up at 6:30 with kickoff at 7:20 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. That was the voice of your quarterback, Caleb Williams of the Chicago Bears, describing how he feels in these late game moments. And he's being asked these questions a lot. Ben Johnson's being asked these questions a lot because we're continuing to see the Bears rise up in those moments. And you think about a lot of the frustrations that have been there in some critical moments late. There's a variety of times we come out of Bears losses in recent years, whether you're talking last season with Caleb as a rookie or multiple years of Justin Fields trying to get that figured out with balls going through the hands of Equanimeous St. Brown or Darnell Mooney and you name it, some near misses on drives that feel like they could have been or should have been but ultimately weren't. And now we're here with this being our reality with the Bears now at 6-3 and yet another magnificent fourth quarter comeback. The Giants now 0-4 this season when leading by 10 points or more in the fourth quarter. I like to talk in data points because I don't like to react in big, broad, bold terms based off of one example or just a couple of examples of anything. Man, the Giants find ways to lose games. It's good for that to not be the Bears. Bears are finding ways to win games over and over again. But that's on the Giants' resume at this point. So that's unfortunate to be a Giants fan. I've texted with a number of the Giants fans in my life during and after the game here. They're in a different scenario. They're in a different spot than you are right now as Bears fans. And there was a moment that I promised I would get to, and I'm going to describe what I was talking about a little bit earlier in the show because some of the texters have guessed this correctly at 312-644-6767. Then I'll get back to the phone lines in a moment. But in game, with some of the, as Ben Johnson described, Houdini moments from his quarterback, Caleb Williams, some of that came up in a variety of ways just with the way that the Giants pass rushers were getting home, were making life really tough on some of the edge blockers for the Bears. But one of the things that came up, Ben Johnson actually described something that he is now appreciating about his quarterback, Caleb Williams, and the impact that Caleb is having on him as the Bears coach and play caller.
It seems in those moments of improvisation that Caleb seems to be at his strongest. How do you balance allowing him to have that room to improvise, but also staying within the system that you
described? Yeah, and so that's the more time we spend together. We watch the tape, and we go over every play in practice, every play in the game, and he and I are seeing it exactly the same. And so he knows when he should step up and try to just dump the ball down to a check down right away. I thought he did that a couple times here today, and then other times where – you know, the rush is on him pretty quick, and he's got to do something special. And so that's the unique thing about his skill set is he's got that ability. As a play caller, it certainly helps me out because I don't feel like I need to be perfect with these play calls. Like he's gonna make these things right. And so that's the balance, that's the trust that we have as a quarterback and a play caller.
it's cool to hear Ben Johnson give his quarterback credit for that, because as I was referencing a little bit earlier in the show here tonight, we've had a number of play callers and sometimes head coach slash play callers who feel like every time the football gets snapped, they've got to sort of out-clever the opponent. And Ben Johnson, while being extremely creative as a play caller and having a really good sense in game for when he's maybe gotten advantage on a defense where he can do something deceptive or exotic, have a quote-unquote trick play that he would use in a game, but also having the comfort and now this trust that's been earned by his young quarterback to say that I don't always have to be perfect. Sometimes I can just dial something up and Caleb can make it happen for me. And that's a cool spot to be where your quarterback has that degree of trust that he's earned from his head coach slash play caller. And again, those imperfections from Caleb are still there and they're still working through those every single day on film and on the practice field and in game action. But to have this be the case right now where they're at 6-3 and this combination of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams are doing these cool things together with the Bears offense and the playmakers that they can access, that is a very hopeful spot for Bears fans to be in. I referenced earlier in the show, there were two different moments as I was watching the game today on television that had me, that I let an audible yell out when they took place. I'm going to describe that to you in a moment. I want to make sure I get back to the phone lines at 312-644-6767. There were two audible yells that I let out during the game today. I'll tell you what those were in a moment. But let me get Randy in Indianapolis on the line here. I want to talk about what we saw from the Bears in the game today. Ryan out in Indy wanting to talk about what's happening with the Chicago Bears. What's up, Ryan? You're on the Post Show.
Appreciate it. And a callback to the previous show where Keith got something else. He's one of the
I heard about Keith.
So I'm Ryan Arway.
Keith in Indy. What's up, Keith? You want to talk about the Bears?
Keith has to be a weekly segment. So, Keith, if you hear this, get on the phone every week. Also, I love your comments about Burton. So, thank you for saying that. I just don't think enough of us recognize that. And also, I want to say thank you for your general just positivity. We're 6-3. And we're Bears fans, and we complain all the time, and it's been it's a war.
The complaints are earned, Ryan. The complaints are definitely earned because there's been a lot of frustration, and I get that.
But the way you said it, I think, captures it perfectly. The question, though, I had is about special teams. I see it as a real weakness, and we have potential to get to the playoffs. Kickoff coverage, punt coverage, things like that. Kickoff return has been disappointing. But also, I don't trust Santos. And we got Moody, right, still in the practice squad, who proved, despite what happened with him in San Fran, I'm not sure we're set up in a very key element of the game to succeed should we get to the playoffs. So just your thoughts on special teams.
I'd say it's a valid concern. There was one situation that came up again today where the kickoff coverage seemed leaky, Ryan, and I think that's worthy of concern. Now, just in sitting in that seat and thinking about where the Bears are at with that, there's obviously multiple sides of that. It was a good acquisition to bring in Jake Moody when they did, just in case, because you never know what's going to happen with Cairo Santos. You know, those small tissue things can come up, or who knows, inaccuracies can be a part of things. And they've been there both on the kickoffs, which he hit the he hit the pylon on a kickoff today, so it was a touchback. It came out to the 20, but kind of an eyelash away from dribbling out of bounds and the ball ending up at the 40. Now, also, you do have the overall resume of Cairo Santos, and if I'm not mistaken, I think he's still the most accurate kicker in Bears history. So when you have that over the time that he's been here in Chicago, and of course, going back to my childhood, rooting for Kevin Butler, or of more recent vintage, where you have Robbie Gould and what he was able to do throughout his Bears career, for Cairo Santos to be the most accurate kicker in Bears history, it's not like this guy's just been spraying the ball all over the place. So Richard Hightower, Bears special teams coordinator, the Bears coaching staff, the franchise as a whole, they've seen Cairo Santos make a lot of kicks and some of them very, very big kicks for the Bears. He does not have one of the strongest legs in the sport. Jake Moody does. But there's a reason that Jake Moody was, I believe, a day two draft pick, and he's no longer with the team that drafted him, that expended that type of draft capital on him just a couple of short seasons ago. So it's easy to say move on from Cairo, but then this thing with place kickers can turn on a dime. And as good as Jake Moody was in those games, hitting some kicks and showing some leg strength, he was also imperfect. So I'm not quick to move on from Cairo, and it does feel – I was joking about this with Grote, and I'll be on the midday show again tomorrow. I was joking about this with Mark Grote a bit last week, where it does feel easier to be knee-jerk about specialists, kickers and punters, because their job is so specific and we see them so infrequently in game action that when one thing goes wrong, when a couple of things go wrong, it's like, oh, I'll get this guy out of here. We've ridden that roller coaster with Cairo Santos a couple of different times during his time with the Bears. But if I'm not mistaken, and he's still statistically the most accurate kicker in Bears history, just like when the Bears moved on from Robbie Gould and he went to San Francisco and had a lot of really strong seasons remaining in his leg, I tend to err on the side of the proven commodity that's done big things. You have some patience with that. So I'm not eager for them to move on from Cairo, but that's just my thought. I do wonder, though, what does Ty in Colorado think about things with the Bears right now? Let's get another caller in here. And as I said a moment ago, there's two audible yells that I let out while watching the game today. I'm going to tell you guys what those are in a minute. But first, I want to talk to Ty. What's up, Ty?
Hey, what's up, man? I just want to tell you, man, I appreciate your perspective. I think that on the Chicago media, you have one of the most balanced perspectives, and I really appreciate that about you. But I want to preface this. But what I'm getting ready to say was this is just the eyeball test, but I would love to see it challenged with some statistical information. But being a Bears fan and watching these games over these years since the end of the Lovie Smith era, I think that when you talk about building a foundation, having the ability to beat the teams that are under 500 and to win the games that you're supposedly supposed to win are some of the hardest. And most of the teams that are repeat, you know, playoff participants are the teams that master that feat. And even though right now we may not be ready to handle the Kansas Cities or the Philadelphia Eagles or the team is still hitting their stride, I think that we are solidifying the concrete necessary to even really be a contender. You can't just beat the good teams. Even though the bad teams, we can throw all the shade we want. We can talk about is Caleb the guy, not the guy. But if we are in a position where we are finally turning around, where last year all of these games were losses. I was sitting there. I was watching the games. I was heartbroken over and over again watching these games. And now to be on the other side of it in a fashion where I don't even think the Bears have won this many games in this fashion in one season in relation to the teams that they're supposed to beat and teams under 500. I'm going to leave it right there, and I hope that you can kick that can down the road when you go do all of your check-ins on the other shows. Please do, because I know you're going to look into it because that's who you are. But please do, and if it's worthy of it, kick that can down the road for me. Thank you.
I appreciate the call, Ty. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's hard to quantify the impact that quote-unquote culture has on a football team and its ability to sustain winning. While at the same time, you can certainly feel something positive is going on. And as it mounts and as wins continue to accumulate, then it's hard not to lean into the idea that culture is a part of that, that quote-unquote momentum is a part of that. And I know there's a lot of momentum truthers out there. Kind of the analytics crowd has led the way on that a little bit. But momentum is basically just confidence. And when you're competing with confidence and those around you are feeding off of your confidence, then that can lead to more positive outcomes in the midst of that competition. Doesn't necessarily mean that Austin Booker is going to suddenly be 280 pounds and hit blocks better against a double team. So it doesn't guarantee you a lot, but maybe it does mean that he's able to shoot a gap on occasion and be confident to do that because he's not going to stand up well against that double team. But you know what? I know Tremaine Edmonds has my back. Let me go ahead and Olay this guy real quick and get into the backfield. Maybe I make a big play. There's some of those things that can begin to snowball, just like the term, you know, takeaways coming in bunches. They can, and a part of that is intangible. A part of that is cultural, But in the end, you would like to have a personnel and a schematic advantage over the opponent that just leads to you just playing better and being one of the best teams in the league, like we continue to see from the Philadelphia Eagles season over season, or the Kansas City Chiefs season over season, where that becomes sustainable because you're just better than everybody. You're not the best culture. You might be the best culture, but you are also just one of the best teams, one of the best collections of football talent in the sport as well. 312-644-6767. I do believe Chris in Rockford may have a different perspective on what we just heard from Ty in Colorado. So I want to get to Chris in Rockford before I tell you the two moments in the game today that I let out audible yells during the game. Chris, what's happening? You're on the Post Show.
Hey, what's happening, man? Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
So the only perspective I had, and I am thrilled to pieces that they are 6-3, but I'm kind of echoing a bit what Olin had said earlier on the previous show as to how that culture is ingrained with this. It's not really so much luck. Yes, but these bounces the Bears are getting are not going to last. You're not always going to have a fumble at the end of the game. You're not going to have a decision for a field goal versus going for it and a shank punt to piggyback that. The great thing about that, though, is that the problems the Bears have happening have started to even out. The penalties have come down. The running game has come up. Caleb is reining in his talents. I mean, there's the layups that he's missing, and that just goes with his play style that he's kind of molding into the Ben Johnson scheme, and I'm fine with that. Defense still has things to figure out. Special teams were a virtual non-factor day simply because we kept kicking on the end zone. You know what? I was okay with that with the conditions out there. But my hope, and I have that optimism, is that the Bears continue to make these better changes, make these improvements, because now we're getting to the meaty part of the season. We play Minnesota next week. We still have to play Green Bay twice. We got to play Detroit at home. We got the Eagles. It's going to be a tough road. It's just nice to have that perspective of the playoffs this late in the season, because that's been a while since that happened, and even have a serious dart to throw to say, hey, why not us? I just hope that momentum continues, but I appreciate all your perspectives. I know you touched all these points, and I just wanted to piggyback on that. Just say, hey, don't let the chances run out before you max out on the improvements on this season.
Right. That is more than fair, Chris. It definitely is, and I appreciate you making the call. I mean, in the game today, you could look at it and say that there was a lot about the two teams that were evenly matched from an overall playmaking perspective. When Jackson Dart was in there, he probably had a playmaking advantage on Caleb, but then part of that was some of the drops that were referenced earlier in the show by some of Caleb's playmakers, but then Caleb's legs weren't as big a part of how the Bears moved the ball in the first half versus the second half, whereas with Jackson Dart, he's running all over the place, untouched into the end zone, you know, some of those times. But then, from a game plan perspective, that's a part of the risk that you take when you run your quarterback as well and force fumble. That appears to be the moment where Jackson Dart ends up getting concussed. Don't know for sure, but he was definitely slow. I immediately noticed how slow he was getting up off the ground. I just couldn't tell on the TV copy. Is he getting up slow because he's disappointed, or is he getting up slow because his brain is concussed? Hard to say for sure, but that seemed to be the moment when CD Deuce was able to get in there, knock the football out, and then multiple Bears defenders converge on things. And shout out to C.J. Gardner-Johnson for yet again being impactful. Two games in with the Bears and being really impactful, a couple of sacks in the game, a forced fumble also. And I tweeted this out after the game where he's filling, of course, that Kyler Gordon role as the slot defender. He's a big part of the way the Bears operate within their run defense, and there's a feistiness and a physicality that's necessary to do that, while also having a major role in the way the Bears defend the pass as well. And his reaction to be able to dart in and have those moments is Kyler Gordon-esque in that way. And he's always been a good football player. He's always been a really talented guy who's made plays on the ball. I do love that he's now at least two games through with the Bears, able to showcase some of that feistiness while keeping it reined in. He hasn't done anything to pick up penalty flags or set the Bears back. The two audible yells that I let out during the game, one of them, that final 29-yard touchdown run for Caleb Williams, I let out a yell in that moment because it was yet another magical fourth quarter comeback for the Bears. The other one, though, was the previous drive on a third and 10 not because Caleb, as he extended the play through this ball and Colston Loveland made a magnificent grab on it. I was yelling before that because that matchup that I was looking forward to seeing between Brian Burns and Darnell Wright, Brian Burns tried to spin inside and Darnell Wright was right there waiting on him with that post leg and then stabbed his left hand into the breastplate of Brian Burns while he was in the air trying to spin inside. And man, I've been there where Brian Burns was, where you are getting tea kettled by an offensive tackle while you're in the air leaping. And he made the fatal mistake of leaping in front of Darnell Wright. Darnell Wright took that left hand and put it on him like a Hadouken, like something from Mortal Kombat, and sent Brian Burns flying. That was my other audible yell during the game today. Another victory for the Bears. Another victory for us here on 670 The Score. Getting through a post-post show. Tune in all day tomorrow for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Gabe Ramirez will be live starting at midnight, followed by Mullion Hall at 5:30 right here on The Score. My thanks to my guy Tyler Beautyball and the ones and twos for me in the studio. My thanks to all of you. Appreciations and salutations. I'm Anthony Herron. This is the all-powerful Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bear the f*** down.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.